In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know what some of you are probably thinking. That almost sounded like the Beatitudes. Well, it is the Beatitudes, just from Luke's Gospel. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have the Sermon on the Mount with the more familiar Beatitudes that we have. And this is from Luke, the Sermon on the Plain, actually. He goes to a wide, flat spot, we're told. And he says very similar things. Except in addition to the blessings, which we like, there are the woes, kind of the flip side to it. That blessed are you who are poor, but woe to you who are rich. He's reminding the people that the whole concept of a person's station in life being representative of their relationship to God was off. It wasn't right. They would look at someone who was well-to-do and seemed to have everything going their way and would think, oh, well, they must be a good person and God is blessing them. And if you had some poor Joe who never could catch a break, was always being beaten down, never catching a lucky break in his life, it must be because he's a bad person and God is punishing him. But of course, we know that's not true. We can all think of circumstances where a very good person just can't catch a break and has the woes of the world on them. We can also think of seemingly very wealthy people who have everything going their way, but we know they're not doing the right things. They're playing at least fast and loose with the rules to get where they are. We can think of counterexamples all over the place for any of these. The thing is, we can't come up with a single theology, a rule of thumb that says if this is apparent in someone's life, then this is their relationship to God. It just doesn't work that way. That's what our Lord is trying to remind people of. You can't go for the simple explanation. They're doing well because God is blessing them. They're doing poorly because God is cursing them. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way it is. But it's also a means of encouragement. Blessed are you if you are poor or hungry now, because it won't always be that way. Now, this is not just the idea that wrongs will be righted in some afterlife. It's also a reminder to those of us who are here and now that when we see people who are poor, who are hungry, who are all these other things, we are called to help them. As the saints of God, as the children of God, as members of Christ's body, the church, we have a responsibility to those in need to do what we can to help them so they won't always be hungry, they won't always be destitute, they won't always be homeless. And we can't help everybody, we know that. And so there is the reminder that ultimately all wrongs will be righted. But it doesn't let us off the hook for the ones that we can fix now. There are some, none of y'all, some out there who seem to have this theology of, well, God will take care of them. I don't have to do anything. But we know we do have to do something. We do have to take the things that we have, the treasures we've been entrusted with, and do what we can to help the children of God, the poor, the outcast, the downtrodden, all those in need. To help where we can. And so we have to balance those ideas that we're to do all that we can and also to realize we can't do everything and to hold fast in our own lives that when we do seem to be the recipients of the bad stuff, the downside to life, that God is still there with us. After all, we have the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one can point to the life of Christ and say, there was a perfect example of how to live and be and that God was blessing him. I mean, yeah, morally, yes. But in terms of the person he was, never owned a house, never owned a swimming pool for sure, didn't have a car, didn't have a bicycle, had to walk everywhere he went. What was always seen as being poor, never had his own home, never had a place to lay his head. He was betrayed by people. Falsely accused, arrested on trumped up charges, executed by the state. And yet we would say he was cursed by God. Certainly people did. Cursed is he who is nailed to a tree. And yet God raised him from the dead. vindicated Jesus Christ, showed that all the suffering that he did was rewarded by God, was held up by God as a means of redemption for us. That God used this awful, terrible thing that happened to Jesus Christ as the means of our salvation. Our life with God through Jesus Christ is all about flipping around our ideas and understandings, the way we think things actually are. It's a reminder that there's always more that God calls us to. There's a deeper understanding. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about why some religions and some churches seem to prosper and grow and others not so much. And we talked about the idea that there are places you can go that will give you absolute answers. This is definitely exactly the way it is. No questions asked. And you better not ask any questions. We're not one of those churches. And if that's what you need, you're not going to find it here. Because we know that a relationship with God is more complex than anything we can come up with. We know that it is a struggle to try to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it's not easy and we don't have all the answers. That's why God gave us each other to support each other and to struggle through these things. And not just us right here, right now, but the whole communion of the saints that we celebrate today. That all throughout the ages of the church, thousands of years, are people who have lived and died in Christ and live forever with God now. And we can draw upon them and their strengths and their examples. That we remember the saints that we do for what they've done. That they can be models for us. And we also know that there are thousands, millions of saints whose names we'll never know, but who live their lives trying to walk with Christ to the best of their ability. And we remember those too. Each one of us is a saint in the church of God. Each one of us has value and worth in the eyes of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Each one of us has an obligation to work for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, to build each other up, to support each other, to love each other. We just sang in the song that these are all saints of God, and I mean to be one too. Through God's grace, God's love, God's compassion, we too are saints of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.